Good morning. Morning. So last week we had seen the gospel go forth into Samaria, and Philip being the primary tool there that God used to bring forth the gospel into a new area, new territory. Now in the next two sections, although it will take us more than 2 weeks to get through them all, we're going to see two big conversions, two very important conversions that happen, and they're both, obviously, as all conversions are, miraculous. This morning we're going to begin looking at Saul's conversion, whom we know better as Paul, the author of much of the New Testament, as well as really an apostle of the Lord in a very special way, but an apostle. And then we're going to look at a conversion of the first Gentile as we move into chapter 10 with Cornelius the soldier. So we have two massive conversions that are coming, that we're going to be looking at now. This morning, though, we're going to be looking at Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. This is God's word. We see here now that Saul is becoming a Christian. He's going from someone who was in absolute rebellion to Christ to someone who now follows Christ, is an obeyer of Christ. First, Saul attacks the Christians. He continues this process that we saw him begin earlier, and this is in verses 1 and 2. He's still, it says, breathing out threats and murder against the disciples. Remember, Saul was standing nearby watching and giving assent and approval as Stephen was martyred, as Stephen was stoned to death. And he was approving of the whole thing. And now here he is, he's actively fighting against followers of Jesus Christ. He goes to the chief priest and says, let me go out and find more Christians and I'll bind them, I'll tie them up and I'll bring them back to Jerusalem so they can be punished. We don't know exactly what that punishment would have been, but we do know he approved of the death of Stephen. He's not just a passive person here. He's actively working against Jesus. He is full of anger and venom. He's zealous, thinking he's being zealous for God. There would have been nothing in him that says that he was wrong or he was in error, that he was mistaken in his zeal. I think we should all just take some pause sometimes and be humble about our approach to our belief system and our convictions. Convictions are good and essential for life. But we also need to be humble in the way we approach and we approach others and other people's convictions and not judgmental towards them. We need to be careful with our zeal that we don't go off into false passion over things that are not really what the Lord has called us to. I find that we see that, I see that all the time now when it comes to politics and this intermingling we have of politics and faith. Now, of course, our faith must inform our politics, always. And our faith speaks to our politics, absolutely. But so much of what comes across as religious in our nation right now, it has this blending together of politics and religion where the lines can't even be seen. And faith in Jesus is overshadowed by faith in candidates and zeal for candidates. And we must be very careful that our zeal is for the Lord Jesus himself and that our approach to others and to everything is with humility. Let's foster humility in our relationship with Christ. We see Saul being zealous, but zealous in 180 degrees the wrong direction. Then on the road to Damascus, he meets Jesus in verses 3 through 6. He's on his way. Suddenly there's a light from heaven that flashes around him. Saul is so struck, he falls to the ground. And he hears a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? The other people with Saul, they hear something. They don't see anything. They don't see the light. But they hear something. They hear something going on. This isn't just a personal religious experience that Saul is happening. It's not just some psychological event that he's going through. There are powerful a supernatural work going on here of God, that God is meeting with Saul. And I know he does not meet with all of us in the same way, but his care for each one of us and for each one of our conversions is exactly the same. That he desires to meet with us and fellowship with us and correct us from our path of walking away from him, and to call us to walk with him and follow him. We see that as Jesus says, I am Jesus, you're the one who's persecuting, he tells Saul what to do. And in our next section, in verses 7 through 9, we see that Saul obeys Jesus. We see a conversion has taken place. He's immediately gone from fighting against Jesus and anyone who follows him to now obeying Jesus. Jesus says, get up and go into the city. And what does Saul do? He gets up and he goes. Doesn't go by himself because now he's blind and he can't see. That snow's starting to come down out there. All right, let's keep moving. He can't see. because he's blind, but he's been converted and he believes in Jesus Christ now. And he goes into the city and he's fasting. He doesn't eat, he doesn't drink. He's so profoundly been shaken by this experience of being converted to being a follower in Jesus Christ. Well, now Jesus appears to Ananias, and now Ananias obeys Jesus, even though it was hard and dangerous. Verses 10 through 16, we see that there's a disciple named Ananias, and as dear brother Michael pointed out this morning, this is not the Ananias who back in chapter 5 was killed because he lied before the Lord. This is a different guy. Excellent observation. We got a little confused with how many Philips we had last week, the past couple weeks here. This is a different Ananias in a different town. He's in Damascus. And the Lord speaks to him in a vision, says, look, I got something I need you to do. And Ananias is like, all right, Lord, this is awesome. Yeah, thank you. I'm paraphrasing. All right, you won't find that in the text. It's a little different there. He says, all right, great, Jesus, what do you need? I'm your guy. And he says, go to this guy named Saul from Tarsus, and I want you to heal him. Ananias is a little uncertain right now that he really wants to follow through with that. He asks the Lord a question. He asks him, Lord, or says to him, Lord, I've heard of him. This is dangerous. It'd be the same as if you were a convicted criminal going before the police and entering right in and saying, here I am. Remember, Saul had the authority from the high priest to arrest any followers of Jesus. And Ananias knows this. He knows that this is what potentially could happen to him. But Jesus says, I've chosen Saul. I've chosen him to bring my word before the Gentiles and the children of Israel. We'll see that his primary role as apostle will be to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to Gentiles, but he also goes, in his ministry, goes to synagogues and goes to the children of Israel also. And Ananias obeys. I think that's so powerful. Even though he could be concerned for his life, be concerned for his freedom, he's very willing to do what Jesus says. Jesus tells him to do something that could be hard or could be difficult, and he does it. Something he probably wouldn't want to do. I'm sure he doesn't like the idea of Saul, but he doesn't complain. He's not putting up a fight. He just goes and he does it. He does what Jesus says. And in the last part of our passage, verses 17 through 19, we see that Ananias now, as following Jesus, welcomes a new brother. I think it's so powerful the way Ananias greets Saul. He says to him, Brother Saul. First thing he says to him, these are probably the first words from a Christian that Saul has heard. The first Christian he encounters and the very first words he hears are, Brother Saul. Ananias isn't harboring some bitterness. He isn't like going, you know, like Jonah did, like in this, well, I don't want to go, Lord, but I'm going to obey you, I guess, because I have to, and you're God, but I'm not going to like it. No, Ananias's heart, the Lord says that this is his chosen person. The Lord's saying that Saul has been converted. What does that mean? That means he's my brother. Doesn't matter what he was before. Doesn't matter what I think about him or what's going on. It doesn't matter. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he is my brother. He touches him. He places his hands on Saul. Such an intimate act. He prays for him and says, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see. And he ate and drank and he was nourished and he was strengthened. And he's about to begin an amazing journey of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ananias played a beautiful part in that. Ananias was willing to follow Jesus and go and talk to and pray for someone, even though he thought he might have been an enemy. He didn't know what was going on. He was willing to reach out to someone. And it turns out this someone was a precious brother in the Lord. He was a follower of Jesus Christ, having met Jesus in a powerful encounter and became converted to Jesus Christ. We have a beautiful picture here of an individual brother, a man who was fighting against Christ, comes and surrenders to Christ. We see a picture of another man, Ananias, surrendering to the words of Jesus and following Jesus, even though it may have put him in danger. Brothers and sisters, let us surrender our lives, our hearts, our wills, our desires to Jesus, that he may rule over us. Let's pray. Father God, we lift up to you our praise and our prayers. We thank you, O Lord God, that through Jesus Christ we can be born again. By your grace, through faith in Jesus, O Lord God, just as Saul was. We pray, O Lord God, that you would meet with each and every one of us, either for the very first time for our salvation, or anew, that you would call us and lead us, Lord God, into ministry, into surrendering our daily lives to you, O God. Let us surrender control of our lives into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.